नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण भ्रष्टाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्वेत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. सो वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग the second verse of Upadesha Amrit. So we completed the commentaries of Srila Radharaman Goswami and Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So today we were supposed to start the Anuvritti commentary by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur on the second verse of Upadesha Amrit. So we saw वाचो वेगम सॉरी अत्याहार प्रयासश्च प्रजल्पो नियमाग्रह जनसंगश्च लौल्यम च षड्भिर् भक्तिर् विनश्यति. सो द सिक्स आइटम्स विच डिस्ट्रॉय वन्स भक्ति वी डिस्कस्ड एंड इन राधारमण गोस्वामी उपदेश प्रकाशिका टीका ही मेंशन्ड दैट इन द बिगिनिंग स्टेज ऑफ भक्ति द मेटीरियल प्रोक्लिविटी इज वेरी स्ट्रांग. So therefore one is unable to subdue the six urges, and because of the inability to control the six urges, the six unfavorable things manifest, which is atyahara prayasa prajalpa niyamagraha janasangascha laulyamcha. So and we saw he mentioned that atyahara means to either eating too much or over indulgence of senses in other sense objects, or collecting too much. Bhakti Vinod Thakur mentioned prayasa means over endeavor for in activities which are opposed to bhakti. This is prayasa. And prajalpa means to criticize or gossip and misusing the time in this way. And niyama agraha, he mentioned two meanings. Niyama agraha means over enthusiasm to follow the rules only and not the essence. And niyama agraha means not wanting to follow the rules at all, failure to accept the rules. So therefore, which means over enthusiasm for those rules which are not enhancing, those rules which enhance one's bhakti, and lack of enthusiasm for following those rules which enhance one's bhakti. Both are two different kinds of niyamagraha. And then we saw about janasanga. Janasanga, he talks about many different types of janasanga. The a person, he says that one should not associate with violent, foolish destroyers of the self, the sinful, the most lamentable people, and the players, playthings of women. So these are the various kinds of asat sangha, and he says of all these types of asat sangha, association with the opposite sex is the most degrading form of asat sangha. Like that, he quotes Kapila Dev's teachings and concludes. And finally, he talks about laulyam. Laulyam, he mentions, laulyam means the restlessness. Laulyam also means greed, as mentioned by Bhakti Vinod Thakur. But Radharaman Das Goswami says laulyam is the act, is the
restlessness.
Being lola. Lola means to be restless. Moving, restless. So laulyam is therefore restlessness of mind, and restlessness of mind or unsteadiness of mind is created due to being in the presence of objects of sense gratification, or it can also be due to association with persons with opposing opinions to bhakti. So one can get influenced by those opinions. So that is also called as laulyam. So This is what we discussed. Basically, he has defined, and according to Radhanavandas Goswami, these six symptoms manifest in the initial stages. He does not really talk about solution for any of these things. At least, it is just an explanation. Bhaktivinod Thakur mentioned, he defined Atyahara as the either overeating or excessive sense indulgence in any of the sense objects. So, devotees who have renounced householder life are forbidden to accumulate material goods. So, then prayasa means activities that are opposed to bhakti are performed for the enjoyment of the senses. And up to the
essential. Prayasa means bhakti are not.
No. Over endeavor in those activities which do not enhance one's devotion. That is prayas. Then niyamagraha, he again gives the same. Yes, he says that there are two meanings of niyamagraha. When one has progressed to a higher level of realization, to be attached to the lower rules is niyama agraha. And second is niyama agraha is when one has a reluctance to follow those rules which can enhance one's progress in that particular level. That is niyama agraha. Both are, being attached to the lower rules and not developing sufficient faith and attraction to the higher rules. Both are two types of niyamagraha. Hari Gopal Guru Kidra? Hari Gopal. Juice pin. Okay. So then he says about Janasangha in one line. To associate with persons other than the devotees of the Lord is Janasangha. And Laulya means both unsteadiness and greediness. So unsteadiness can be due to association with other non-devotees or people who subscribe to opposing doctrines. So that can create unsteadiness of mind. And in the second sense, it refers to attachment to worthless sense enjoyment is also falls within the category. And of these six kinds, two kinds are very dangerous. One is prajalpa and the other is laulyam. Laulyam of the first kind. Unsteadiness of mind due to false doctrines. Because both of them eventually lead to Namaparadha. So hearing from different sources, that can cause Namaparadha in the form of Vaishnava Paradha or doubting the scriptures or considering the statements of the scriptures to be exaggeration or to consider the holy name to be just like any other ritual. Like what? अरे holy name तो आपका आध्यात्मिक प्रगति के लिए है, but for other things the holy name will not do, or to think that the holy name is incapable of doing. Whereas Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's conclusion is namna makari bahuda nija sarva shakti. He has invested all the powers in the holy name. So hearing to these different kinds of false philosophies which may not be rooted in the conclusions of not just bhakti. Actually, bahugrantha kalabhyasa vyakhyavada vivarjanam. Reading too many useless books. Srila Jiva Goswami gives a very specific explanation of that. He says, reading too many books whose conclusions may not concur with the conclusions of Srimad Bhagavatam, he says. That actually can potentially, it leads to nama parada. So therefore, lavalyam of the first kind and prajalpa, it leads to offenses. So these two, one has to be very careful to avoid. So this is where we ended yesterday. That's a quick summary of Oberon, where were you? So these are the two things that we discussed, two commentaries by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Radharaman Goswami. So now we will start the third commentary by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, the Anuvritti commentary. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur says, excessive acquisition of knowledge, which is the preoccupation of the jnanis, accumulation of the fruits of work, which is undertaken by the fruitive workers, and amassing too many material objects, which is the business of those who are plagued with many material desires, are all known as atyahara. So, excessive accumulation of knowledge means non-devotional knowledge. And accumulation of fruits of work, which is undertaken by the fruitive workers, and amassing too many material objects, which is the business of those who are plagued with many material desires, are all known as satyahara. So, what kind of knowledge? Non-devotional knowledge, or even Vedic knowledge, which may not be necessarily devotional. Not all Vedic knowledge is necessarily devotional. So, non-devotional Vedic knowledge also falls within this category. That's why he is using the name of his jnanis. The cultivation of knowledge which is taken up by the jnanis, the austerities and vows undertaken by karmis, and the hard labor done by those possessed of many desires to obtain wife, children and wealth are called as prayasa. So, atyahara he mentions as excessive acquisition of knowledge, accumulation of the fruits of work, and amassing too many material objects. So this is known as atyahara. And prayasa means jnana prayas and karma prayas. Jnana prayas is the endeavor in the direction of the jnana marga, you know, practicing the various limbs of jnana. And the austerities and vows undertaken by the karmis, that is karma prayas. And of course, in modern day, you know, the other kinds of non-devotional, there are many types of non-devotional prayas. You know, our prayas may not be so pious like what Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur is mentioning. The dry scholarship of the jnanis, which amounts to nothing more than useless scriptural argumentation, praise of the benefits of pious deeds, which generates fondness for religious rituals in the karmis, and the talks pleasing to the senses of those who are possessed of many desires are called prajalpa. So, if you see Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he is explaining atyahara, prayasa, prajalpa, everything in the same way. Excessive acquisition of knowledge, which is the preoccupation of the jnanis, is atyahara. The cultivation of knowledge which is taken up by the jnanis is prayas. The dry scholarship of the jnanis, which amounts to nothing but useless scriptural argumentation, that is prajalpa. Okay. Accumulation of the fruits of work which is done by the karmis, pious work, that is atyahara. And austerities and vows that you perform to achieve those results by the karmis, that is prayasa. And praise of the benefits of the pious deeds, the karmakandiya scriptures, they glorify this yagya, that yagya for this swarga and that benefits, and discussing about that is prajalpa. Okay. Karmis, jnanis and sense gratifiers. Karma yogis, jnana yogis, karma yogis and sense gratifiers. Three. Atyahara, prayasa and prajalpa. Like that he is mentioning. 3x3 table. Amassing too many material objects, which is the business of those who are plagued with many desires, is atyahara. Hard labor done by those possessed of many desires to obtain wife, children and wealth are called prayas. And the talks which are pleasing to the senses of those who are possessed of many desires is called as prajalpa. So if you see, like that he has described. So whatever is your, for a jnani, atyahara, prayasa and prajalpa defined in a particular way. For a karma yogi, he performs. Nay, rather, the endeavor of a, here we are discussing atyahara, prayasa and prajalpa from the vantage point of a devotee. For a bhakti yogi, discussing the glories of bhakti, is it prajalpa? For a bhakti yogi, endeavoring to perform the acts of devotion, is it prayas? For a bhakti yogi, accumulating rounds, accumulating service, is that atyahar? No. For a karma yogi who is hearing about the glories of swarga, is it prajalpa for him? No, because his inspiration to perform those activities will come from that only. So here we are discussing atyahara, prayasa, prajalpa, niyamagraha, janasanga, laulyam, all six from the vantage point of a devotee only. Therefore, the jnani's endeavor for acquisition of knowledge is not atyahar for him. It is atyahar for us. And the cultivation of the process of jnana performed by the jnanis is not prayas for him. That is needed for him to progress on the path of jnana. But when a devotee is engaged in such activities, for him it is prayas. Similarly, when a jnani is engaged in scriptural argumentation, it enhances his faith in his own process. That is not prajalpa for him. That is a part of his practice. But when a devotee is engaged in such activities, that is prajalpa.
So if I am engaged in dry scholarship, then I am suffering from jnana prayas.
Yeah.
So basically, it happens to
be correct.
For a devotee.
Yeah. But this does not talk, this is not talking about accumulating the knowledge from books which are rooted in Srimad Bhagavatam. This is for them. This is practiced by them, but this is not necessarily considered as Atyahara, Prayas and Prajalpa for them. But we are discussing, we have defined that the audience for this course, the audience of this book are those who have faith in pure devotional service. So, these elements are described for them. For devotees, what is Atyahara, what is Prayasa, what is Prajalpa? That's what we are discussing. So then, to accept the rules of the Jnana Shastras in order to obtain liberation is called as Agraha. Agraha means over enthusiasm, over zealousness. So this is Niyama Agraha. You have come to practice bhakti and you want to attain the lotus feet of Krishna. But why are you so much attached to the rules of the Jnana Shastras? So that is Niyamagraha. Unwillingness to let go of the lower rules. This is the first type of Niyamagraha. Attachment to the rules outlined in the scriptures promoting pragmatism. With a desire for sensual enjoyment, both in this world and the next world, is called as, is also from the karma point of view, Niyamagraha. Attachment to the rules of karma, the Varnashram rules, making them to speak as if they are absolutely mandatory for a devotee, and being very much attached to performing every rule of the Varnashram duty, that is Niyama Agraha from the karma point of view. Jnani Karmi, third person, maybe in the next slide, let's see. Yeah, they may have some Swabhavajam Niyamas, like some Niyamas which are born from their own self-values. So, establishment of certain rules of conduct appropriate for one's own status to achieve immediate happiness, as advocated by the utilitarians. Is also known as, or those who promote the greatest happiness for the greatest number, is also known as Niyama Agraha. So this is Niyama Agraha for a devotee from the point of view of the materialistic people. They are materialists. These are like plain materialistic people. You can say they are Sakama Karmis, or even they may be they are Sakama Karmis or Karma Kandis, you can say. And these people, they don't accept any Vedic literature. The third category of people. So mundane rules, not scriptural rules. So attachment to non-devotional scriptural rules can form under Karma Niyamagraha or Jnana Niyamagraha, and then this is about attachment to non-scriptural man-made rules for material happiness, immediate happiness. Vegan. So be moral, be good, do good kind of things. And being so much attached to the extent that you may be willing to sacrifice your spiritual practices also for that. क्या है मतलब क्या जाता है एक दिन नहीं चैंटिंग करेगा तो क्या होगा. At least I am being nice to so many people. It sounds in one sense good, but yeah. See, that's what there are. These are all real issues, actually. So it does happen. So establishment of certain rules of conduct appropriate for one's own status in order to achieve immediate happiness, as advocated by the utilitarians or those who promote the greatest happiness for the greatest number, is also known as niyama agraha. Very much eager to, you know, like even as you said, vegan, or you know, even cow protection from a not necessarily scriptural point of view, people may get so absorbed and attached that to the extent that they'll be willing to spend sleepless nights for this, but to the extent that they can sacrifice their own spiritual practices also. So like that. Utilitarian means opportunist, something like that. Looking for every opportunity for sense gratification. Utilize. So this is the first type of niyamagraha. The second type of niyamagraha, he says, to remain indifferent to the rules that are prescribed for the attainment of bhakti is known as niyamagraha. Second type, niyamagraha. So there are many rules and regulations which say how bhakti has to be performed. They may be detached from those rules, but they may be attached to those rules which may not be necessarily very favorable for practice of bhakti, like that. Such persons are so audacious that they try to pass off even the detestable wantonness and depravity as the most sacred and elevated path of spontaneous devotion. So now he is directly attacking those who wantonness means greed or excessive desire for sense gratification. Depravity means fallen state. So here he is now talking about the so called sahajiyas who reject the rules, telling that you know, there are many ways in which they reject the rules. They say that you know, did the Vrajavasis have guru? Did the Vrajavasis follow Ekadashi? Did the Vrajavasis did worship all demigods and all that? So why can't we do? Did they chant like 16 rounds or things like that? So therefore this was keep trying. Usko hi thoda adjust karenge to ho jayega. Upar niche do it, thoda upar niche. Okay. Okay. Anyway, so such persons are so audacious that they try to pass off even their detestable wantonness and depravity as the most sacred and elevated path of spontaneous devotion. In Hari Bhakti Vilas, the disposition of such person has been explained in the following words. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidhim Vina ಐಕಾಂತಿಕಿ ಹರೆ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ ಉತ್ಪಾದ ಏವ ಕಲ್ಪತೆ. ಸೊ ಶ್ರುತಿ ಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಪುರಾಣಾದಿ ಪಾಂಚರಾತ್ರ ವಿಧಿಂಬಿನ ಐಕಾಂತಿಕಿ ಹರೇರ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ. ಐಕಾಂತಿಕಿ ಹರೇರ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಸಿಂಗಲ್ ಮೈಂಡೆಡ್ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಟೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಡಿವೋಷನಲ್ ಸರ್ವೀಸ್, ಬಟ್ ವಿಚ್ ಮೇ ನಾಟ್ ಬಿ ಇನ್ ಲೈನ್ ವಿತ್ ದಿ ಟೀಚಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಶ್ರುತಿ ಸ್ಮೃತೀಸ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಪುರಾಣಸ್. ಈವನ್ ದೋ ಇಟ್ ಮೇ ಬಿ ವೆರಿ ಸ್ಟಡಿ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಟೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ, ದಟ್ ಕೈಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಇಸ್ ಉತ್ಪಾತ ಏವ ಕಲ್ಪತೆ, ಇಟ್ ಪ್ರೊಡ್ಯೂಸಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಟ್ರಬಲ್ಸ್, ಉತ್ಪಾತ್ ಮಿಸ್ಫಾರ್ಚೂನ್. ಸೊ ಒನ್ ಮೇ ಸೇ ಹೌ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಸ್ಟಡಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟ್ ಮಿಸ್ಫಾರ್ಚೂನ್, ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಐಕಾಂತಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟ್ ಮಿಸ್ಫಾರ್ಚೂನ್? So he says, Rupa Goswami, this verse is quoted in Bhakti Rasam Sindhu also. And in the next verse he says, Aikantiki iveyam avicharat pratiyate, he says. This looks like steady bhakti only due to lack of discrimination from the observer's point of view. ಯಹ ಅಶಾಸ್ತ್ರೀಯ ಈಕ್ಷತೆ, ಸೊ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಲೈಕ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್. ಬಟ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಇಂಟೆಲಿಜೆಂಟ್ ಇನ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡಿಂಗ್ ದ ನೇಚರ್ ಆಫ್ ಸಂಬಂಧ ಅಭಿದಯ ಅಂಡ್ ಪ್ರಯೋಜನ, ದೇ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಇಮಿಡಿಯೇಟ್ಲಿ ಐಡೆಂಟಿಫೈ ದಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್, ದಿಸ್ ಸ್ಟಡಿನೆಸ್ ಇಸ್ ಫಾಲ್ಟಿ, ದಿಸ್ ಇಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಟ್ರೂ ಸ್ಟಡಿನೆಸ್, ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ದರ್ ಇಸ್ ಲ್ಯಾಕ್ ಆಫ್ ರಿಗಾರ್ಡ್ ಫಾರ್ ದ ಸ್ಕ್ರಿಪ್ಚರಲ್ ಕನ್ಕ್ಲೂಷನ್ಸ್, ಸ್ಕ್ರಿಪ್ಚರಲ್ ಇಂಜಂಕ್ಷನ್ಸ್. ಸೊ ವೆನ್ you see some steady practice of bhakti without proper regard for scriptural injunctions, that kind of a practice is not only due to lack of discrimination one can say that it is called as it is steady bhakti. Actually it is not steady bhakti at all, and if it was actually steady bhakti then it can never lead to misfortune, utpat. So therefore here the word aikantiki is used only from the point of view of perception. It is in reality, it is not aikantiki bhakti, it is only a perception, apparent, like when Ramdas Vishwas was seen by Raghunath Das Goswami, it was Raghunath Bhatta Goswami. So it was only avicharat. He saw it as aikantiki bhakti only out of lack of real knowledge about what was inside Ramdas Vishwas's heart. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw him, he immediately neglected him. He was talking only to Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and he completely neglected this Ramdas Vishwas. Avicharat. Or when Bhagavan Acharya brought his brother Gopal, Gopal Bhattacharya, to meet with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so that he could. So everyone was eager, but Swarup Damodar Goswami left right, he chastised Bhagavan Acharya. He says, avicharat pratiyate, you don't have discrimination. It's only due to lack of discrimination that you are seeing that, oh, my brother is very learned, but that is filled with mayavad, you can't see it, you lack that discrimination, he says. So therefore shruti smriti puranaadi pancharatra vidinvina aikantiki bhakti is actually not possible. So the word aikantiki is used in the sense of only perception from a person who lacks that discrimination. But if one possesses proper discrimination, he will see this is not aikantiki bhakti. Steady. Yeah, this is one kind of, vidya, you can say. So in the Kalyana Kalpataru also, Bhaktivedanta Thakur is quoting, you know, Kalyana, yes, Prabhu. Be good. If you accept someone as an acharya, then the acharya gives those rules of the scriptures which are relevant for today's practice. So therefore that is not utpad. So one has to consider the deshkala patra considerations, and the acharya has the prerogative to make such adjustments. Which one? Chaturmas ka matlab kar rahe hai na, matlab first month we avoid. Yeah, as long as they are not if it helps you remember Krishna, ultimately sarve vidhi nishedhyasyur yeteyor eva kinkara. Which one?
Dadi
Badana. So he has defined, and even Maharaj for that matter, he never recommended that his brahmacharis grow beard during Chaturmas. Correct. In the Kalyana Kalpataru also, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So what I was thinking was probably Kalyana Kalpataru was just published, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote Kalyana Kalpataru. So even though Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote, lot of books written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur are actually published by Gaudiya Math. So Kalyana Kalpataru was probably just a few years old when he is quoting from the book. So it is like it is like we are quoting from some of our Vartaman Acharya's books, like the Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani. In the Kalyana Kalpataru also, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said, "My dear mind, what have you done? Being in a very immature stage, you have cheated yourself unknowingly by perpetrating the fault of narrow-mindedness upon the pure Vaishnava Sampradaya. You have supposed the pure conceptions and validity of the Sampradaya to be hypocrisy and thus abandoned them." What is he discussing now? Niyamagraha. You have given up wearing the Vaishnav Tilak markings and neck beads and put aside your chanting beads, thinking that अल्टीमेटली आई हैव टू थिंक ऑफ कृष्णा ना, ये सब एक्सटर्नल चीज किसके लिए. यू थिंक व्हाट इज द यूज ऑफ वेयरिंग तिलक. सो ही इज एक्सप्लेनिंग गिविंग एग्जाम्पल फ्रॉम कल्याण कल्पतरु टू सब्सटेंशिएट दिस वर्स. श्रुति स्मृति पुराणादि पांचरात्र विधिम बिना ऐकांतिकी हरेर भक्तिर उत्पादाय एव कल्पते. I can chant within my mind, so what is the need for the beats? One's diet has nothing to do at all with bhajan. So don't think that you have to give up eating meat, fish or eggs. Uska aur Bhagavat Smaran ka kuch sambandh hai kya? Don't think that you must stop drinking wine or tea and taking intoxicants such as pan, tobacco, marijuana, hemp or opium. You have cast aside the need for taking initiation, diksha. Is diksha needed? Is the holy name not potent? What is the need for diksha? Is holy name dependent on diksha or not? ठीक है, वो ट्रांसपेरेंट वाया मीडिया नहीं है तो भी होली नेम फ्लो होगा ना. अगर ग्लास है, ट्रांसपेरेंट ग्लास, और ग्लास हो या नहीं हो, लाइट तो जाएगा ना. तो विच मीन्स इज द मंत्र डिपेंडेंट ऑन संप्रदाय. So before the guru gives the mantra, is the holy name potent or not? Okay, we will discuss this. One cannot enter into Vaikuntha without Diksha. One cannot get Prema without Diksha. Okay, we will discuss all these points. It's a combination of few things. Chaitanya Charitamrita se bhi hai. कौन सा स्लाइड? कौन सा एपिक्यूस? सो I will just try to see if I can get it. कहीं पे तो आई. ओके.
इसलिए ये ट्रांसमिट पैरेंट कर रहा है.
क्यों आता है, मंदिर का नाम ही गुरु। दुनिया को मालूम नहीं है।
Okay, so we will see this theme of is diksha necessary. So in the second limb of second of the 64 limbs, first thing is Shri Krishna diksha di sikshanam. Of the 64 limbs, the first 20 limbs Rupa Goswami says is absolutely mandatory. You cannot do without it. So now, within that first 20 limbs, Diksha is the second limb. Okay. So what is Diksha? Divyam jnanam yato dadyat kuryat papasya sankshayam tasma dikshyati saprokta deshikai stattva kovidai. Diksha is the process by which one can awaken his transcendental knowledge and vanquish all reactions caused by sinful activity. A person expert in the study of the revealed scripture knows this process as Diksha. So now, is Diksha compulsory? Can't I progress in bhakti without Diksha? Is the holy name not powerful enough? So, in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, Diksha Purascharya Vidhi Apekshana Kare Jihvas Parshe Achandala Sabhare Udhare. So, this is about the glories of the holy name. Apeksha na kare, one does not have to undergo, or the holy name does not wait. Diksha purascharya vidhi, one does not have to undergo initiation or execute the activities required before initiation. This is called as purascharya vidhi, purascharya. Jihvas parshe achandala sabhare uddhare, one simply has to vibrate the holy name with his lips. Thus, even a man in the lowest class can be delivered. And another, so yeto, this is mentioned in CC, and he quotes a verse to substantiate this. Vinaiva diksham viprendra purascharyam vinaivahi vinaiva nyasa vidina japa matrena siddhita. Oh, best of the brahmanas, even without initiation. Vinaiva diksham purascharyam vinaivahi, or even without preliminary purification. Vinaiva nyasa vidina, or acceptance of the noun's daughter. One can attain perfection in devotional service simply by chanting the Lord's holy names. So is holy name dependent on diksha? Siddhida means attaining Krishna prema. That is Siddhida. Kyun nahi? See, you can attain prema only if you chant without offenses. Okay. So now, the third offense to the holy name is disobeying the orders of the Guru, Guru Ravagya. So now, to accept a Guru and not following his order, if it is an offense, to think that I don't need a Guru, how much of an offense it is? The third offense is in the attitude. All the 10 offenses are attitude. If one thinks, अरे गुरु एक्सेप्ट करूंगा तो यार गुरु अवज्ञा है ना, तो एक्सेप्ट ही नहीं करूंगा तो गुरु अवज्ञा तो होगा ही नहीं मेरे से. इफ वन थिंग्स लाइक दैट, देन दैट इज द बिगेस्ट ऑफेंस टू द गुरु, गुरु तत्व इटसेल्फ. दैट्स व्हाट दिस वर्स इज फॉर देम. So why he is not taking diksha?
Maybe he has not getting good opportunity.
So if such people, if he has within the heart he has accepted a guru, but the guru leaves his body, or if this person leaves his body before the diksha gets over, then for on him the holy name will work. Okay, so Srila Prabhupada in the purport to this verse, Prabhupada writes, in other words, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is so powerful that it does not depend on official initiation. But if one is initiated and engages in Pancharatra Vidhi, his Krishna consciousness will awaken very soon and his identification with the material world will be vanquished. The more one is freed from material identification, the more one can realize the spirit soul is qualitatively as good as the supreme soul. At such a time, when one is situated on the absolute platform, one can understand that the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself are identical. So basically, diksha and subsequent deity worship and all that, it actually awakens, purifies the beginner very soon, so that he can chant the holy name with much more purity. At that stage of realization, the holy name of the Lord, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, cannot be identified with any material song. If one accepts the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra as a material vibration, he falls down. One should worship and chant the holy name of the Lord by accepting it as the Lord himself. One should therefore be initiated properly according to the revealed scriptures under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master. Correct. So the point is, the holy name is not dependent on diksha, but the practitioner is dependent on diksha. So, because the practitioner, this verse is meant for those who due to circumstances could not complete the diksha process. This verse is not meant for those who do not regard the process of diksha, who do not have trust. Because the first symptom of a person who has received faith in the process of bhakti is that he realizes that he needs a guru. So that is the first symptom of Shraddha only. But if one thinks, I don't need guru, then that is considered as guru ravagya actually. So therefore, one should see the limbs of devotional service as being complementary rather than competing with each other. So, in Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani only, we study about the role of deity worship, how it enhances the faith in hearing and chanting. So, one should not say that if I engage too much in deity worship, then I will get very less time for chanting or hearing. Rather, I will just read. नहीं, हमारा संप्रदाय शिक्षा है उसका ये मतलब नहीं है कि जो शिक्षा से आए हैं वो किसी ने भी दीक्षा नहीं लिया, वैसा नहीं है, या दीक्षा के विरुद्ध उन्होंने कुछ लिटरेचर लिखा है, वैसा भी नहीं है। Because that is not recommended in the scriptures. So what is the need for deity worship? Is chanting Hare Krishna is sufficient in itself for perfection. Okay, Adi Leela 7.76 purport. To chant the holy name of the Lord, one need not depend upon other paraphernalia, for one can immediately get all the desired results of linking with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It may therefore be questioned why there is a necessity for initiation or further spiritual activities in devotional service for one who engages in the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. What is the need? The answer is that although it is correct that one who fully engages in chanting the holy name need not depend upon the process of initiation, generally a devotee is addicted to many abominable material habits due to material contamination from his previous life. In order to get quick relief from all these contaminations, it is required that one engage in the worship of the Lord in the temple. Because for such a person with such severe conditioning, to see that the holy name is non-different from the Supreme Lord is difficult. But to see that the holy deity is non-different from the Supreme Lord is little more easy. That is why deity worship is especially recommended for the beginners. The worship of the deity in the temple is essential to reduce one's restlessness due to the contaminations of conditional life. Thus, Narada in his Pancharatriki Vidhi and other great sages have sometimes stressed that since every conditioned soul has a bodily concept of life aimed at sense enjoyment, to restrict this sense enjoyment, the rules and regulations for worshipping the deity in the temple are essential. Which one?
One who fully engages in chanting need not depend on, unless he takes diksha and takes process, he cannot fully chant.
Correct. That is the point. So, Shri Rupa Goswami has described that the holy name of the Lord can be chanted by liberated souls, but almost all the souls we have to initiate are conditioned. So liberated souls ke liye initiation jarurat nahi hai, but fir bhi they also accept initiation to set the right example for others. But conditioned souls, they are dependent on the process. It is advised that one chant the holy name of the Lord without offenses and according to the regulative principles. Yet due to their past bad habits, they violate these rules and regulations. Thus, the regulative principles for worship of the deity are simultaneously essential. And of course, deity worship is absolutely essential for sadhakas, especially grihasthas. This he will mention from purport from the 7th canto. I will not go into this. 7th canto purport. Rediscovering Vaidhisadhana Bhakti ka course mein. Srila Jiva Goswami's comments on deity worship for the sadhakas, especially grihasthas, he also mentions. But I will not get into this. Last five limbs ka toda idhar udhar se I have put in some more details. See here, grihastha means sadhakas. And in Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, he says, actually deity worship enhances the desire to hear. So, Srila Shivaram Swami Maharaj writes, in addition to purifying the heart, deity worship has two other important effects. It increases the devotee's interest to hear about the Lord. It bestows the ability to concentrate the mind, which increases the capacity to hear. The eagerness to hear and the capacity to hear increases by deity worship. Tending the deity, so how it increases the eagerness, he says, tending the deity naturally awakens awareness of Krishna's personality. So you can see, oh, he is a person. As devotees become increasingly attached to the person they are worshipping, they want to know more about him. It is natural. Subsequently, they want to hear about his pastimes and to learn how to serve him better. So deity worship does not take time away from, only from a superficial point of view, it takes time away from chanting, but rather it may take some time away from chanting, but it gives eagerness for chanting and hearing, actually.
Deity worship is similar to dancing.
As they increase their service, their instinctive taste for hearing and reading becomes purified and directed towards topics of the Lord. This Prabhupada writes in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.13 purport. So when they start serving the deities, their instinctive taste for hearing and reading becomes more purified and directed towards the Lord. And again, Srila Prabhupada also glorified deity worship as a means to fix the mind. This is the second benefit. Focus. This deity worship means to train the neophyte devotees how to concentrate upon the form of the Lord, especially His lotus feet. So by observing the Lord's form during arati, thinking of Him during the day and tasting His remnants at meals, devotees naturally remember Him. So how deity worship aids Shravanam, how deity worship aids Smaranam is described here. This regular remembrance is a form of training that helps new devotees subdue and direct the restless mind. When they have achieved a certain measure of success, devotees find reading and hearing much more rewarding. So, when through deity worship, when people have learned to fix their mind, then subsequently hearing and reading becomes much more rewarding. That's why you see Pankajangri Prabhu and Jananivas Prabhu, even Bengali classes mein bhi jaake baith jaate hain. Every day, so two people you can be confirmed that they will be there in the class. They are Pankajangri Prabhu and Jananivas Prabhu. We often see new devotees distracted or sleepy while listening to class or reading. Learning to fix the mind on the deity helps fix the mind on topics of Krishna. Thus, deity worship helps devotees stay alert and focused in other devotional acts also. Through the medium of deity worship, the devotee's dormant attachment to Krishna is awakened. That attachment naturally increases their qualification for and interest in hearing the topics of Krishna. In this way, they overcome the influence of the lower modes and advance happily in Krishna consciousness. This Prabhupada writes in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.19 purport. Through the medium of deity worship, the devotee's dormant attachment to Krishna is awakened. That attachment naturally increases their qualification for and interest, but of course deity worship is not just for neophytes. So here he says that the neophytes approach the deity worship on the platform of Archanam, whereas advanced devotees approach deity worship on the platform of Smaranam, he says. Although they were fully realized souls, associates of the Lord such as Rupa Goswami and Gadadhara Pandit worship their own deities with love and attention. While advanced devotees generally worship the Lord by the process of remembrance, Smaranam, they initiate many neophytes into serving the deity in the temple and show their disciples how to dedicate themselves to caring for Him. And then he says, but active and personal deity worship is most potent. क्या है उसका मीनिंग बताता हूं. गोइंग बिफोर द डीटीज, चैंटिंग देयर नेम्स एंड ऑब्जर्विंग आरती आर सर्टनली पार्ट्स ऑफ द अर्चना प्रोसेस, बट डिवोटीज वुड डू वेल टू बी मोर एक्टिवली इन्वॉल्व इन द एक्चुअल वर्शिप. बाय कुकिंग फॉर द डीटीज, ड्रेसिंग देम एंड डूइंग मीनियल सर्विसेज सच एज वॉशिंग द फ्लोर और मेकिंग गार्लैंड्स, the devotees can stay conscious of the deity throughout the day and reminded of the standards that please Krishna. Anyway, so the point is, we were discussing is holy name, chanting the holy name dependent on initiation.
Move from Vaidhi to Raghunda, meaning
three
things are important. One is worshipping the deity and
receiving
Krishna.
Yeah, correct. Shri Murti Madhurim Preksha, he says. And one comes in the Raghunda. Yeah. So, correct. Deity worship and hearing. Correct. So, actually we have to see these limbs as being complementary and not competing with each other. And generally when we discuss which is better, hearing or chanting, so someone, when devotees argue, it is generally behind that argument is, are you better or am I better? I am better than you. That is the behind that, and that is being covered by, we use, someone says chanting, someone says hearing, someone says deity worship. But ultimately, in reality, all three are complementary to each other. So, is chanting dependent on hearing?
Yes.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Does that make chanting inferior? No. Is hearing dependent on chanting?
Yes.
Does that make hearing inferior? No. Similarly, we saw hearing is dependent on deity worship also. And the more you hear about the glories of deity worship, like we are doing right now, it will, at least in few of us, it will inspire that I must take deity worship little more seriously also. So, these limbs are complementary, and just because one limb is dependent on the other limb, it does not make that limb inferior. So, similarly, if deity worship if the holy name is dependent on Diksha, does it have to make the holy name inferior? No. It's complementary. So similarly, here we are not discussing, is bhakti dependent on karma? Is bhakti dependent on jnana? Is bhakti dependent on varnashrama? This is not the discussion. We are discussing, is one limb of bhakti dependent on the other limb? Yes, absolutely. They complement each other. That is how they are. So therefore, we should understand these verses which say that the holy name is not dependent on Diksha. We should not, many times, sometimes when you are aspiring from a particular guru and the initiation process is little strict. So we may not be willing to make that kind of an investment. We may end up thinking that अरे कुछ दीक्षा विक्षा का कुछ जरूरत नहीं है. That, so this verse is not meant for such people. So one should definitely feel that I need a guru and I need to take Diksha. And whatever, so it is true that the holy name is not dependent. It will not wait. So that's what apeksha na kari. Apeksha means what? Wait. In this context, it means wait. The holy name does not wait for the initiation and the purascharya vidhi. Provided the heart of the practitioner is fertile with the right devotional sentiments. And the wrong devotional sentiment is, I don't need a guru. I don't need Diksha. So, ye jo verse hai, uske liye lagu nahi hai. So, that's what is being discussed here.
Yes. So, the limbs are dependent. It's like, again, practitioner is dependent on hearing so that he can chant.
Correct.
If anyone limb can be perfect.
Correct. Agreed. All limbs are independent. Independent in themselves, but in a practitioner's life, they are complementary. Because we are, ultimately we are all dependent on hearing to develop faith in any of the limbs actually. So similarly, we are dependent also on chanting to gain spiritual strength. So one can, and similarly through deity worship, you can develop faith in hearing. You want to hear more about the person whom you are serving. It enhances the appetite to hear. So in this way, these limbs are complementary.
Yeah. majority of them are related to this university. Instead, he works with health information,
correct. 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 That is exactly the explanation of both Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That is why our Vaidhi Bhakti is like you know, the Pancharatri ki vidhi, and Pancharatri ki vidhi, and through that eventually tada rajastamo bhava kamalobhadayasche chete darunamittam sthitam sattve prasidati. Then one becomes qualified to practice the path of raganuga like that. So he says that therefore you avoid the association of anyone who wears tilak and mala, considering them all to be cheaters. So where are we reading from? From Kalyana Kalpataru by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he is quoting he is quoting this to establish this Niyamagraha, how people may whimsically reject rules which are favorable for practice of bhakti. But my dear brother, mind, please consider what you have gained by this. You have given up gold for ashes. Your present life and the next life have both been utterly ruined. You address everyone as a hypocrite, knave and cheater, but you have failed to attain Bhagavad Bhakti. Knave means something like that, I don't know. Naive, maybe pehli baar sun raha hu. Naive. Naive kya hai? हाँ, मैंने भी सुना है. मे बी कुछ पुराना ब्रिटिश इंग्लिश रहेगा. हिपोक्रेट नेव.
डिसीटफुल.
What will be your fate at the time of death? Oh mind, what should I tell you? Literally, वो पूरा भजन ही लिख दिया Bhaktivinoda Thakur. You utter the words prema prema, but what good will it avail? Prema is a rare and priceless jewel. You will have to undertake arduous sadhana to attain it. By deceitful practice, you make a show of tears, trembling, horripilation and fainting at the time of kirtan or hearing spiritual discourses. Yet your real business is simply to accumulate wealth, women and prestige. Okay? Romanch. When you have not even a trace of attachment for pure sadhana bhakti, which is essential for the acquisition of prema, then how will you attain such pure Bhagavat prema? Basically, aapko abhideya ke prati aasakti nahi hai, to prayojan aapko kaise milne wala hai? So this he is talking in terms of niyamagraha, because niyama is abhideya. So when you don't have attachment to the abhideya, how will you get the prayojan? You should hear Harikatha in the association of pure Vaishnavas. Then by the mercy of Sri Nam Prabhu, unalloyed prema will arise automatically in your heart. You have not performed bhajan in a regulated manner. You have not performed sankirtan in the association of pure devotees. You have not withdrawn your mind from sense objects and engaged it in remembering the Lord in a secluded place. Without first climbing the tree, your attempt to pluck the fruit with your own hand has simply gone in vain. The most sacred and pure Krishna prema. So, climbing the tree is sadhana and plucking the tree is prema, the goal. So, without performing the abhideya, you want the prayojan. the most sacred and pure Krishna prema is extremely rare. By misleading others, you will simply cheat yourself. First, make yourself fit by performing sadhana, which means don't neglect the niyamas. Then prema will become easily accessible to you. Oh brother, although lust, kama and love, prema appear identical by external indications, they are not at all the same. So he is addressing the sahajiyas basically. Kama is like rusted iron, whereas prema is like pure gold. You have seized kama, imagining it to be gold. Can anyone obtain prema by such absurd means? Oh foolish mind, you have become intoxicated by uselessly considering kama to be prema. The lust for bones and flesh appears alluring for the time being. That lust chases endlessly after the objects of the senses. But unalloyed love is the natural disposition of the jiva. That prema is fully sentient and spiritual by nature. The object of that prema is Sri Hari alone, not a dressed up doll of bones and flesh. At present, prema is in a dormant condition, being covered by kama. Therefore, you must awaken, you must endeavor to dispel this lust and to initiate the awakening of love. काफी लंबा है, ये सब बंगाली है, इंग्लिश टू हिंदी, बंगाली टू हिंदी, हिंदी टू इंग्लिश. ये सब पूरा पोएट्री है ना, पोएट्री का ट्रांसलेशन. अगर ये भक्तिदानंद ठाकुर एक खुद इंग्लिश में ट्रांसलेट करते थे तो हम पढ़ते भी नहीं थे. नहीं नहीं, मैनिपुलेशन. दिस ट्रांसलेटेड बाय वन गॉडी मंट डिवोट. फर्स्ट बाय गुड फॉर्चून ड्यू टू द डिवोशनल क्वायर्स क्रेडिट सुकृति अक्यूमुलेटेड ओवर मेनी प्रीवियस लाइफ टाइम्स प्योर फेथ अराइजेस. सो मेनी लाइफ टाइम्स ऑफ अक्यूमुलेशन ऑफ अज्ञात सुकृति लीड्स टू प्योर श्रद्धा. देन सो अभी प्रोसेस क्या है बता रहे, हाउ यू शुड बी अटेंटिव टू द रूल्स. देन बाय हियरिंग हरिकथा. नहीं अभी अभी भजन हो गया, अभी नो ही इज कंटिन्यूइंग. देन बाय हियरिंग हरिकथा एंड परफॉर्मिंग हरिनाम कीर्तन इन द एसोसिएशन ऑफ प्योर डिवोटीज, श्रद्धा इज मैच्योर्ड एंड इवॉल्व्स सक्सेसिवली इनटू स्टेडफास्टनेस, निष्ठा, taste, ruchi and deep attachment, asakti. From asakti, bhava makes its appearance and from bhava, prema is manifested. This is the order of development by which prema is awakened. Prema may be obtained only by taking support of this progressive evolution and never by any other means. So by skipping bhajana kriya or by being not involved and attentive to it, it is not possible. Oh wicked mind, why do you fear to take up this step by step method of sadhana? By mere imitation of prema, you will not obtain anything. By such an imitative display, you will attain only the temporary happiness of sense enjoyment, which will also result in misery in the end. With this understanding, you should give up all offenses and impediments and engage yourself in pure sadhana bhakti. In this lies your good fortune. Oh, idhar khatam ho raha hai bhajan. Bhajan is ending here. Okay, so we will continue this anuvritti commentary tomorrow and then take it further. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Rupa Goswami Pad ki, श्री उपदेशामृत की.